Well, good evening, Potter's Foursquare Church. Hope all is well. This is Pastor Greg coming to you from my home office. And we are continuing our Wednesday night study in the book of Ephesians. We're going to be talking about being made alive in Christ. We're in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And just a quick update on where we are with Ephesians. Remember, the first three chapters are our standing in Christ. And the last three chapters, 4, 5, and 6, are really speak about our walk. So we have our standing and our walk, and it's really a manifesto for the church, for those who belong to the church, how we are to conduct ourselves, and I think it's fitting for the time that we live in now. So tonight, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old has gone, new has come. So there are two Greek words, right, that we translate new. And that's consistent with a lot of Greek words. There are many meanings with Greek words. That's why love has so many different translations in the Greek. The first one, neos, it refers to, and I apologize if I'm getting into Greek words in the introduction. Hopefully you're not sitting at home thinking, oh man, this is going to be one of those studies. But it's important to set the tone and set the stage. So the first one is neos, and it refers to something that has just been made, but there's already many others in existence just like it, right? So let's go back to what we studied earlier in Genesis when we talked about creation, and there were two things that God created from existing materials, and there are only two things. The first thing was man. He created from existing dirt. And he created woman from the existing rib of Adam. Everything else he spoke into existence, right? So that would have, these things would have fallen under that neos Greek word definition, even though Greek was not the language that they were speaking back then, but it would have fallen under that. The second word translated new is in this verse, in the verse of Corinthians about being a new creation, and it's kainos, and it literally means something just made, which is unlike anything else in existence, right? So you were made a new creation, not like anything else in existence. You are unique, you are peculiar, there's nothing else like you, right? So in Christ, we're made entirely a new creation, just as God created the heavens and the earth originally. He made them out of nothing, and so he does with us. He does not merely clean up our old selves, he makes us entirely new self. And when we are in Christ, we are partakers of the divine nature. So God himself is in the person of the Holy Spirit and takes up residence in our hearts. And that's how that happens, that process happens. So our text tonight is in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And if you grab your Bible, while you're getting your Bible out, I want to remind you why we're doing what we're doing. The Bible says that we are to study to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth. That is you. That is me. This is hard work, right? And we are to be diligent. We are to be farmers. We are to be soldiers. We are to be dedicated to the study of God's word. Why? Because when we know God better, life is better. I'm going to repeat that. When we know God better, our life is better. So, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. Verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The Spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient, all of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, some observations. Well, obviously, the main observation that pulls out from the first couple of verses is this: we were dead, right? And what is death? Well, he explains it pretty well. He says, as for you, you were dead in what? You were dead in your transgressions, meaning the law that you broke and the sins that you committed. The law that you broke and the sins that you committed made you dead, spiritually dead. And in verse 2, it says, which you used to live in when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. So it says right there that this behavior is for unbelievers. This behavior is motivated by Satan, right? Because you know that's who he's talking about. The spirit is now at work in those who are disobedient. So everything that is a form of disobedience has evil behind it. Now, you're not going to hear that in this day and age, right? Because our media and our world likes to say that, yes, you can use evil for good, or you can use disobedience for good. And that's just not the case, right? When you take somebody's property and burn it to the ground, or you hurt somebody to make a point, you're not making the point. And that's not how this country was formed. It's not how God would have us act ever, right? And then verse 3 says, and all of us, we used to live among those people at one time. And what was the fruit of that? Well, we were gratifying our flesh and following the desires and thoughts like the rest. We were by nature deserving of wrath. So the problem that I have with the first three verses, it's for people that are non-believers, yet I see some of me in that. I see some of me that disobedience and you know, sometimes gratifying the cravings of our flesh and the desires and the thoughts that I have and you know, being deserving of God's wrath. I'm going to explain what Paul means by this, but let's continue. Verse 5 again says, he made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions, and it is by grace that you have been saved. So he said, you've been made alive. And again, this made alive, the only way I can explain it is, you know, this is not a situation where you have Sleeping Beauty and, you know, the prince comes in and gives her a kiss and she wakes up and she's the same person that she was before she was asleep. Or in the case of those that were raised to dead, I can think of the young girl who was dead and Jesus raised her from the dead. She came back the same person that she was. This is not the case here. You have been made alive. You've been made alive. You've been made a new creation, which is different. The very nature that we talked about before, that word, you have been made a new creation in Christ, meaning unlike it was before. And the third thing is, we've been seated in heaven, right? We know that when Jesus Christ ascended from the earth after the 40 days that was here after his resurrection, that he ascended. And when he ascended, he even said, I'm going to go to the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you, and I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit. What an awesome thing, right? We have been seated there with him. We have become trophies of his grace. What does that mean? What does that mean? He says, well, we are God's handiwork. If you look at an artist or a musician or a sculptor or whatever, that's what God has done. He's made you an instrument, a work of art, something that to be useful, right? And it's by grace that you have been saved and not by works. This is the second time that he says this. It's by grace that you've been saved. If it were by works, then it would give you opportunity to boast. If it were by works, then you could say, yes, you know, you'd high five the next person and say, yes, I work for this salvation. I deserve it. When the reality is, we do not deserve it. We were created, lastly, to do good works. It's the last verse in this particular section where he says, for God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We need to be about doing good works, right? And that is how we know that we're alive. We know that we're flirting with death when we go back to that old man, right? So what does all this mean? Well, interpreting this, the first thing is this being in Christ, right? We know that the scripture says, because we are in Christ, we are regenerated. Write it down. We are regenerated. We know that if we are in Christ, we are renewed, right? Renewed. If we are in Christ, we are born again. If we are in Christ, this new creation is spiritually minded. It's a spiritual mindset that we have, whereas the old nature is carnally minded or has a carnal mindset. The new nature fellowships with God, obeys his will, and is devoted to his service. So the actions of the old nature is, you know, incapable of doing or even desiring to do good. That's the problem. Our old nature is dead to the things of the Spirit and cannot revive itself. It is dead in transgressions and sins and can only be made alive by a supernatural awakening, which happens when Christ comes into us and when we are in Jesus, right? Sealed by the Holy Spirit. That was part of what we talked about in the last couple of weeks when we went over to chapter one, right? That sealing of the Holy Spirit was proof of this whole process. And Christ gives us this completely new and holy nature, an incorruptible life. That was another thing that we studied, one of the spiritual blessings. It's incorruptible. All the things that God has given us, all these spiritual blessings cannot be taken away. That's why he says, store up your treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy and thieves cannot break in and steal. That's an amazing invitation that God gives us, right? So all of this, this being made alive, is for one purpose. It's to do good. Our old life, the previously dead to God because of sin, it's buried. And we are raised to walk in the newness of life, according to Romans 6:4. So, and then the second point in interpreting this is, if we belong to Christ, then we are united to him and no longer slaves to sin, according to Romans 6:5-6. If we are united with him, then we were made alive with him, according to the verse that we just read in Ephesians. If we are belonging to Christ, then we are conformed to his image, Romans 8:29. If we are belonging to Christ, then we are free from condemnation and walking according to the flesh. We don't do that. We walk according to the Spirit, according to Romans 8. And we are part of the body of Christ of believers, Romans 12:5. So the reason... what Paul does in Romans is he explains a lot of what the topics that he brings up in Ephesians are explained in greater detail in Romans. And it's an amazing thing. It's a beautiful thing. As we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, we can walk in those blessings. The problem, guys, and this is the third point that I think we need to draw from this, because we got to deal with it, right? If we're going to rightly divide the truth, and we can't just say, I'm going to deal with the stuff I understand, but not deal with the stuff I don't understand. So here's the problem. You know, there's a person listening right now that's probably wondering why we so often do not live in the manner described above. Even though we have given our lives to Christ and we are sure of our salvation, and I'm going to give you a reason. This is a real reason. This is because our new natures, right, that God has given us, which is not subject to death, is not subject to decay, it's got one problem. It resides in our old fleshly bodies. So they are at war with one another, this old nature and this new nature. The old nature is dead, but the new nature still has to battle with the old tent in which it dwells. And I think we forget that, right? And that is something that we need to really understand and take responsibility for, because it's an issue. It is a serious issue. Evil and sin are still present. That's just the bottom line. But the believer now sees evil and sin in a new perspective, because they're no longer under its control. We are not controlled by evil. We are not controlled by sin. In Christ, we can now choose to resist sin because we've been given the power of the Holy Spirit. Our old nature does not control us. Yes, we may stumble. Yes, we may slip. But again, this beautiful, this newness of life that God has given us, all this wonderful spiritual blessings, they get put into this old, disgusting tent, this flesh, right, that Paul talked about when he said, I got a list of things that I want to do good today, but I find myself doing the bad things, and oh, what a wretched man am I. This is a war within my soul. He's exactly right. There's people listening to me right now, and you know the kind of day that you lived. And you're wondering, you know, Greg, how can this be? I mean, God should take my salvation away from me. I don't deserve it. You're exactly right. You're not deserving. I'm not deserving. And that's why he says it's by grace through faith and not by works. You didn't earn it. And if you didn't earn it, you can't lose it. And that right there should deal with the sin and disobedience problem. But does it? Are we allowing that truth? Because I think a lot of us are under a works basis sort of process, right? I mean, we see that in church. We see levels of faith, and we see levels of affectedness, and we don't understand that at the end of the day, we're all weak, and our righteousness is as filthy rags. And God says, I'm okay with you weak, because in your weakness, my strength is made perfected in you. I don't need you strong. I need you available. And I think we forget that. So there's a couple of things to apply to your soul tonight, and I want you to pay close attention. And when we are in Christ, guys, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, according to Romans. So this new creation, when he makes you new, I think when we think of a conqueror, we think of somebody that is unable to be beaten. And a conqueror is somebody that has fought battles. Some battles you win and some battles you lose. That's just the way it is. I think that in the losing of the battles, there's a lot of wisdom gained. In the losing of the battles that we struggle with sin, there's still lessons to be learned, right? And God is faithful, God is gracious, God is love. In Christ, we are loved, we are forgiven, we are secure, we are adopted, we are justified, we are redeemed, and we're reconciled. Let me say that again. In Christ, right, this new creation, this being made new, what is that? Well, we're loved. We're loved by the Father. And because we're loved, we're forgiven. And because we're loved and forgiven, we're secure. And because we're loved and forgiven and secure, we understand that we've been adopted. Remember, we are engrafted in, right? And we're justified, and we're redeemed, and we're reconciled. And all these things happen as a result of this newness of life that God has called us to, this new creation. He said back in our text at the beginning, he said, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were dead in those works that you were doing. You were dead in that behavior. You were dead in all of those things. But in verse 5, he has made us alive in Christ even when we were dead. It is by grace that you have been saved by faith, lest any man boast. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us in those heavenly realms for a purpose. For a purpose. Why? To do good works. To do good works. Ask yourself this question. What can I do? What can I be doing now to bring about more good works in my life? Because the good works are evidence of new life. The good works are evidence of a new creation. The good works are evidence of you being made alive. Ask yourself now and be honest with yourself. This is when you look in the mirror and say, what could I be doing to have more good works in my life? Not for the purpose of continuing my salvation or earning it, but for the purpose of walking in that faith, for the purpose of walking in that newness. That's what God would have of you. And if you've never done that, and you may be the person that I talked about in the first three verses tonight, and if you say in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. If you make that your prayer, you will be sealed by the Holy Spirit. You will be anointed by the Holy Spirit. You will be given the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, and you will be made new, a new creation, never been made before. And God will do an amazing work in your life. If you made that decision, find the phone number on our website, give us a call, and let us know the decision that you made to follow Jesus so that we may rejoice with you. Get in a good Bible-believing church. Start reading your Bible every day, whether you understand it or not. Start praying, even though if it seems weird, and allow God to bless your life. If you listen regularly, he has shown you, O man, O woman, and Greg, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, that we do justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly with our God. Go do that now. God bless you guys.